In this episode, we revisit an interview I did with Jay Washburn, where he reanalyzes our approach to temple prep.
It came as a result of the position of leadership which was imposed upon us by the God of heaven, who brought forth a restoration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when the declaration was made concerning the only true and living church upon the face of the earth, we were immediately put in a position of loneliness, the loneliness of leadership, from which we cannot shrink nor run away, and to which we must face up with boldness and courage and ability.
Hello, friends. Welcome back to the Leading LDS Podcast. This is Kurt Frankum, and I'm excited to be back with you. I hope you enjoyed your conference weekend, filled with many great talks and quotes and memes, and I just loved it. Okay, let's be honest. I haven't heard it yet because I'm recording this the morning of conference and haven't listened to any of the talks, but I'm sure, as just like any other conference, I've never been disappointed with the quality of content and the spiritual uplifting that it brings me in my personal life. And I'm looking forward to it. And so I'm sure many of you are looking forward to revisiting those talks that you heard and continuing that spiritual journey. In this episode, I want to bring back an interview I did. This is back in December of 2013. This is something I try and do once a week. At least I really try to do it, where I bring back good quality content that may have been buried by newer content. There's so much good content on Leading LDS. I encourage you to peruse around the website and type in some keywords and see if you can find additional interviews and content related to your calling that can make you a better leader. So back in December of 2013, Jay Washburn, and I sat down for an interview, and this is sort of the inaugural podcast episode. In fact, I didn't even have a podcast when I interviewed like him. I always intended to, and obviously that did happen. But we just used the magic of Google Hangout and recorded it through there, and then I ripped the audio and posted the MP3 file on the post. But now I'll push it through the podcast stream. So Jay Washburn, he just saw a need for more information and understanding for individuals who are preparing to go to the temple, and wrote this book called Dear Jeff, and he basically writes it as a letter almost, or a book to his brother, who was at the time preparing to go through the temple, and helping him understand the different parts of the temple, what to experience, and obviously not approaching anything too sacred or inappropriate. Does a great job with just sticking with doctrine and things that leaders have said, and I highly recommend it. As I served as bishop, I would often give a copy of this book to individuals who were preparing to go through the temple. And I bought two or three copies and just kept them in my office, and then lent them out as individuals needed them. And it absolutely prepared individuals much better in what to expect, and really helped them to get to have a better experience in the temple. So I encourage you to listen to this episode and take notes and go check out his book. Here's my interview with Jay Washburn.
Hello, Leading LDS world. This is Kurt Frankum, and I am here reporting again at another podcast, as I like to call it, from time to time, where we interview the minds of the church and leadership so that we can better understand what on earth we're doing in our callings on Sunday. Today, we have an awesome guest. His name is Jay Washburn. He's a full-time author and amateur temple photographer at healinggalleries.com, and we'll talk more about that later. But Jay's a good friend of mine, and had an opportunity to review a book that he wrote called Dear Jeff. And I like the subtitle on it, Candid Advice from an Older Brother on Preparing to Enter the Temple. How are you, Jay?
I'm great. Thank you for having me on this podcast.
Yeah, for sure. So, good to see you. You know, this is a great book. I read it, and the nice thing is it didn't take me months to read. But nonetheless, I got through it, and fantastic resource. And maybe explain the journey you went through on this and how it came to be.
Thank you. Let me hold it up here, just maybe so people can see it a little bit. Basically, how it started, I had a little sister just a few months ago leaving on a mission to go to Seoul, Korea, and she's actually in the field right now. as she was preparing to for her mission, she was preparing for the temple as well. And basically, she came up to me. She knew I had done a lot of research on the temple. It had kind of become a little bit of a gospel hobby to me over the last few years. And she asked if I would just give her a more personal and a little bit more direct approach to her preparing to go to the temple. And so we met like twice a week and had these little temple courses, just kind of one-on-one. And as I was doing that, I realized that it was probably something that a lot of people might appreciate. And I actually made this post on Mormon Life Hacker that just simply asked people, what were things that prepared you really well for your first temple experience? And what were things that didn't prepare you, like that you wish you had known or been prepared ahead of time? And I just kind of took all this and put it together and I started writing a book. I have another little brother who's about a year away from going on his mission. And so the title is To Him. I wrote this book to my little brother, Jeff, and it's to help him get ready. And I think it's a great resource that can be shared then with other people too.
Okay, cool. And yeah, I was going to reference the Mormon Life Hacker post, and I'll link to it on this post, but it is the number two most read post on Mormon Life Hacker, which is saying pretty good, saying quite a bit about the post, and it got a lot of feedback and comments. Now, were you already maybe halfway into this project when you posted that and you're looking for further insight, or is that kind of when you thought, I've got to write this book?
So I had just been researching the temple for my own understanding for quite a while, and I got the idea to write the book. And then I made that post because I knew that I had a certain perspective on it, but there were obviously a lot of things that I wouldn't know or understand. And I got great feedback from the Mormon Life Hacker readers. They gave great comments, both about the good and about the bad. I was able to input ideas into the book, which was super helpful.
Yeah, cool. And, you know, as coming from the perspective of a bishop, I meet with various people who are preparing to enter the temple. And one, I guess, outlier that I am in that regard is that our ward hasn't had a missionary go out, just the demographics of our ward, probably in the last 20 years. So I actually don't meet with a lot of missionaries that are leaving, but I do meet with a lot of couples that are preparing to be sealed or that sort of thing. And just this week, I had this conversation with a couple where I asked them if, you know, I knew they weren't sealed in. So I asked them if they were making plans and had a goal to be sealed as a family. And they kind of looked at me, and they're very young in the gospel as it is. I mean, it would be a bit of a journey to get there for them, but they kind of brought up some concerns about the temple. And it just like took me back, like, no, that's like nothing what it's like at all. And I was able to kind of just have a practical discussion with them. And I kind of, you know, referred back to your book a little bit on just what it is and how really, it's not any more weird than a baptism, where a foreigner who's never seen a Christian-based religion may see us dunking people in water as a sacred ordinance and think that is awful strange. But in reality, once you're more familiar with it, it really, really isn't anything, you know, outrageous. And then there was a recent couple that just went to the temple, and I was meeting with them, and you know, we went through the temple prep, and you kind of get to the point where you're just like, you know what, I don't know what's going to prepare you. So kind of baptism by fire and just go through, and you may be blown away or be caught off guard, but hey, we'll talk about it later and figure it out. And so a resource that is really strong in explaining the practicalities of the temple and just the basics of what you're going to experience is really helpful. And going back to the Mormon Life Hacker comments, there was a lot of good comments. Even some people had a very negative experience their first time. And it made me think back to my first time going to the temple. And I remember one moment in the temple during my first time, I almost wanted to just chuckle out loud thinking, what on earth are we doing? Like, this is so bizarre. And, you know, I did have the whole temple prep class. I had an institute, you know, temple prep class. I met with my parents, and even all those things, I got there and it was just like, what on earth is this? And what am I a part of type thing? And I wanted to chuckle, you know, but obviously that wouldn't have been appropriate, but I wish I was more prepared on just the simple practical things that, you know, we're going to do A, B, C, and this is why, and there's, you know, nothing weird about it. And so, one commenter in the Mormon Life Hacker post talked about demystifying the experience. Maybe speak to that and how you tried to demystify the temple experience.
Okay. Well, I like how you mentioned baptism. If you showed up at a baptism and had no idea what that ordinance was like, it would be very surprising, I think, just to watch it. You'd be like, whoa, what is going on? And so I've tried in this book to bring references from the Old Testament and from the Brethren that have given examples that give us an idea of what temple ordinances are actually like. So that someone who goes, I mean, they're still not going to know everything the first time they go, but they'll now have some reference points to link these things up with. And hopefully it's a lot more clear the first time they go. Having said that, though, I don't think this book's going to clarify everything. But it's been really cool. I've had many temple veterans read this book, and they go back to it, and they read it, and they learn new things, even though they've already been to the temple many times. And I think that's another key point, is that the temple is about returning and repeating and learning continually, which I think is a really cool point too.
Yeah. And that's, you can count me among those that learned from that. I actually just returned from a trip from the Cardston Temple, which is a great temple to visit. It's kind of out of the way from anything, but if you do get a chance, it's great. And I sat in the temple, and you reference at the end of the book, you reference different signs. And one of the Jacob's ladder, I caught myself looking for, you know, the Jacob's ladder throughout the temple, and it really kind of helped me take a new perspective as someone who's been going to the year for over a decade, or been going to the temple for over a decade, and kind of having a new experience, a new approach to it. So this is really not just for those preparing, but also for those that have been going and seeking to learn and understand at a deeper level.
Can I ask, did you find the Jacob's ladder on that temple?
Oh boy, now the test. I did not. I don't know. I mean, maybe. I kind of just looked for areas, but.
Okay. I'm not sure whether it's on that temple. I know it's a strong motif in Timpanogos. Uh-huh. I do know the Cardston Temple doesn't have the angel Moroni. It's got this glass orb up top, which is pretty cool. Yeah. One of the workers there told me it represents the Urim and Thummim, which is some pretty cool symbolism. Wow. I haven't researched that in particular, but it's cool. It's a cool temple.
Yeah, that out of any of the temples, you know, obviously the classic temples, being in Salt Lake, I obviously take the Salt Lake Temple for granted, and, you know, the Manti Temple's a fun experience, but the Cardston was just so... It just had a different feel about it. It was unlike any other temple I've been to, but it wasn't a different or weird feeling, but it was different enough to kind of give me a new perspective on it. So it was a lot of fun.
Let me add something else. So,
yeah, go ahead.
You know, I wrote this book, and it represents all my research from that point on back. But since then, I've learned a couple new things. A friend of mine just taught me about the octagon. So, and maybe I'll just take him to teach something real fast. Sure. So we talked about this one square, full of a square, and then a circle inside of it. And the square represents like the four corners of the earth. And then the circle represents the eternities of heaven. And so that symbol you'll see in a lot of temples where it's like the place where earth and heaven meet. Mm-hmm. Well, the octagon is kind of halfway between a square and a circle. It's like a symbol that's a mediation between those two. Yeah. I think this is super cool. So as a mediation between earth and heaven, it kind of represents Christ, that octagon. Now, the symbol goes a little further. We have 7 days in a week. That kind of represents a full cycle. So 7 represents perfection. But then you go to the 8th day, and that's the beginning of a new week. That's a rebirth. So 8 also represents being born again, which I think is pretty cool. So I'm actually in Boise right now. I just went to the Boise Temple yesterday, and their celestial room up at the top has this big octagon. And then understanding that symbol about Christ as a mediator and rebirth, and I looked up at that, I was just like, whoa, that is so cool. Hmm. Anyway, this is not in the book, but maybe if there's ever a sequel, it will.
There you go. Some extra content there. But that's interesting, and it really makes you, and I guess we're kind of getting on a tangent about, you know, the symbolism, but just the, you know, admiring a temple from the inside and the outside and seeing those little details that you thought, you know, they just made the building look pretty and it was some architect that had this great idea to, you know, put that column there or that column there. But in reality, there's a lot of thought that goes into this, make sure that there's some strong symbolism there to teach us on a deeper level, but still make it peaceful and a beautiful place to be. So really interesting stuff. Now, why you kind of wrote this, did you always have the idea of writing it from the perspective of you speaking to your younger brother, or what, why did you go that route?
Yeah, and of titles when I write, and I've had a couple either stories or books where the first thing I thought of was the title, which seems a really bizarre way to write, but this book came to me, the first thing was the title, was Dear Jeff, and I just thought, oh, I can write a book to my little brother, and that really was the idea, that really was how it began. It was kind of cool, and then as I wrote, there are times where I'm talking about the importance of a name. My little brother actually had his name changed, his middle name. He was given a name on his birth certificate, and then they changed it. And so there are little things like that where I'm talking directly to my younger brother and bring up cases that were specific to him. But I think in making them specific to him, it helps a wider range of readership relate to it directly, because it is very personal.
Yeah. And I think that's a crucial part of this book, because I've read a lot of other books where I have to like plan my day around a time I can read and like shut out everything and have 100% focus in order to really digest the information that's in it, because it can get bogged down with very deep doctrine stuff you really have to think about and take it slow, where in that context of an older brother speaking to a younger brother, it really helped the book flow and made it a natural resource for others that are seeking somebody's experience that's already been there. So I thought that was fantastic.
Excellent. Thank you. I'm actually glad to hear that too. In theory, I believe that would work, but of course that's always up to the readers to discover. So
yeah. And then going along that, how, I mean, because you can get, when you start to study and research about the temple, about the symbolism, how do you keep yourself from making a completely boring book that's strictly about in-depth doctrine?
You know, it's funny, just having the audience of my younger brother Jeff in mind, just, it really pulled me toward making it personal. I do think that, well, a couple of my readers who were adults said, you know what, this may still be too much for adults. There's certainly a lot of scripture in it and a lot of quotes from the brethren. But I think that a studious young man or young woman that's preparing to go to the temple will still find a lot of value in it.
Yeah, absolutely. And referring to another comment on the Mormon Life Hacker blog, was they had mentioned that they kind of felt cheated a little bit because they weren't aware of the covenants that were made in the temple until they're making them, when they're right there making them. And so even if you go a little too far on the in-depthness of the doctrine there, I think younger people preparing to go to the temple still benefit from that, because at least it gives them an opportunity to understand the covenants that are made. And this is goes back to the discussion I had this week with this couple in my office at church. Was I said, you know, as I went through some of the covenants that are made there, I said, a lot of these covenants, they're no surprise to you. It's not like you suddenly, you know, have to do something weird the rest of your life. A lot of these things you are already doing in order to get to the temple, and now you're just making a higher covenant in a higher location to receive higher blessings. And so I really felt like in the book, it made a good explanation of those covenants so that it's clear what's going to take place and so forth without, you know, going too far on the sacredness of what happens there and stuff that, you know, should remain in the temple and so forth. So anything to add to that or your perspective in approaching?
Well, yeah, I'll say this, and this is, you'll read this in the book, but people are very cautious about what they say about the temple. And Elder Hales in 2012, in his conference talk, said, and we make sacred covenants in the temple. And then he talked about we're covenanting to be obedient and we're covenanting to make sacrifices. And it's cool that I think the brethren have taught us about these covenants in fairly direct ways. And I did my best to just kind of gather these resources together and then present them to someone who's preparing to go. And so they can see, oh, yeah, these are the covenants that I'm preparing to make as I go.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, again, I highly recommend anyone to read this book, those preparing and those that have been going for decades, especially leaders of the church who are working with people. This is maybe just a personal problem of mine just because sometimes I feel like I'm a leader in name only, but sometimes I really don't know what to talk to people about and you know, what scriptures to reference and those things. And this really just lays it out and saying, well, let's just talk about, you know, what's going to happen in the temple or what covenants you're going to make and so forth. And so as from perspective of a leader, this is a great resource to really just start the dialogue with someone preparing. And because most of the time they're not asking questions because simply they don't know what to ask. And then they go to the temple and I always laugh about my sister's first experience. She went to the temple and on her way into the locker room, she saw somebody who just coming out of the session and she literally thought that person just simply worked in the kitchen. And not to be, you know, sacrilegious about anything, but these are like, you want to make sure it's clear to individuals that they're going to experience something that they don't experience in church, but it's okay to prepare them so that when they do go, it's an uplifting experience and, you know, as it should be. And it's sad to hear some people walk out of the temple thinking, wow, I am overwhelmed and I don't know what's going on. And confusion should not come out of the temple, but just further understanding, and I guess.
I think that was one of my main goals is that I don't want someone to read my book. Well, I don't think anybody can read my book and then go to the temple for the first time and be very surprised by much is it because I do think, I mean, I tried my best to address every part that might be misunderstood. And I tried to be really thorough. And like I said, I got these feedback from other people.
Cool.
Anyway.
Nice. Right on. Well, Jay, thanks for taking some time with me to kind of explain this book. I really think it's a good content for leading LDS and a book that people need to grab and get out there. Where can they find the book and what formats and so forth?
So you can buy the ebook or a paperback, at dearjeff.jwashburn.com or just search for it on Amazon.
Okay. And then also check out helamandgallery.com. Really good temple pictures like none other you've seen and I really enjoy your photography as well. So make sure to check that out. And if the bishop wants to buy a box of books to hand out, is that an option or does Amazon not let you do that?
You know, yeah, I haven't really prepared a way to do this, but basically I would love to ship them to bishops at wholesale and we'd have to just do that one-on-one. So if you just contact me through Google Plus, you can actually email me through Google Plus and I would love to send bishops a box at wholesale.
Cool. Well, I'll put all that information in the post with this video and with this podcast. And we'll go for them there. So thanks, Jay. And
thank you very much.
Go out and get this book. Read it. It's good stuff. So signing off again from Leading LDS. Appreciate you. Bye.
concludes my interview with Jay Washburn, the author of Dear Jeff. I hope you appreciated that. And again, I encourage you to check out the book, and I know many leaders can use it and benefit from it. Also, I'd be interested in hearing your ideas. What have you done as a leader to help prepare people to go through the temple and receive their endowment for the first time? What questions have you answered? How have you answered them? I'd love to create a list through the comment section or through social media of ways that you have done that. And that way we can get those ideas to others, and we'll all be better leaders for it. As always, I like to mention at the end of each episode ways that you can help contribute to Leading LDS. Like I said, we're forming this to a nonprofit, and I cannot move forward this mission and this resource without your help. We have big plans for it in the future, and I sincerely need your help. One of those ways that you can help is to leverage the powers of Amazon. I'm sure many of you use Amazon. I know in the Frankham household, we are huge fans of Amazon Prime, and it seems like every day we get a box on our doorstep with some item that our household needs. And so if you go to leadinglds.com/help, on there, I believe it's number 5 on the list, there is a link there that you can copy and paste that into your bookmarks. And every time you go to Amazon, just click on that link. And whether you purchase a big screen TV, socks, underwear, okay, maybe not underwear, but you know what I mean. You can, when you click on that link, it will list Leading LDS as the affiliate or the website that sent you to Amazon, and will send us a portion of your purchase so that we can invest that into Leading LDS and improve the resources here and keep things going. And so that's a simple way of not even contributing more out of your pocketbook, but just adjusting how you do your shopping on Amazon, and will benefit Leading LDS. We're doing some good things here. I'd love you to contribute. Until next time, be a leader and not a calling.